from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Eric Fetty, Anthony, go.
Sure.
Okay.
Career year,
it's
right?
Something, he's got 7 wins on a team that's got 27 total.
Whoa.
He
fourth
and
of their wins.
He and Tommy Pham are a combined 67 years old. Almost as long as it's been since the Cleveland Guardians won the World Series. I don't know how to put this all together. Let's bring on Anthony Castrovince, who wrote about both those guys. And in his 12 bold predictions, wrote that the Guardians are going to get Eric Fetty and Tommy Pham. Anthony Castrovince, MLB.com. He joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Anthony, thanks for joining us this morning.
Yeah, why get one guy from the worst team in baseball when you can get two?
See, when you say it like that, like we always make jokes about loaded language. And I was like, we were going to trade for A.J. McCarron once with the Browns. I was calling him Andy Dalton's backup, which made it sound really, really bad. And when you say if you can get not one player from the worst team in baseball, but two, well, that doesn't sound like we're making a good trade. Would these be good trades for the Cleveland Guardians?
Well, I think so. Fetty, especially. I mean, I think Fetty is kind of underrated in this trade deadline. He doesn't have the raw stuff of his teammate, Garrett O'Shea. But he doesn't come with potential innings limitations down the stretch, and I just like his story. I mean, he's come back. He went over to Korea. You know, he's struggling in the big leagues. ERA over 5. Goes over to Korea, really learns how to pitch a game. You know, pitch deep into a game, command a game. You know, doesn't walk people at the rate he once did. So I'd feel good handing the ball to the playoff starter. I really would. It's kind of that's in the context of our times where, you know, so many guys are throwing the you-know-what out of the ball with every pitch and getting hurt at a crazy rate. I would feel confident in Fetty's ability to just take the ball for you every fifth day on the stretch, which is really what they need. You know, they need to take the pressure off this bullpen. This bullpen is tremendous, but it's also been used a lot. So they need a guy or guys who they can reasonably count on to give quality innings down the stretch.
The reports that came out over the last few days about Crochet, is that a bluff worth calling?
Yeah, I don't think it's a bluff. I think it's someone who is, you know, trying to take advantage of his situation, get himself some, you know, contractual certainty or workload certainty. I mean, he's a very unusual case. It's again, it kind of speaks to what's happened this year with the injury rate that Garrett Crochet is, you know, arguably the top pitching trade candidate out there. I don't think any of us anticipated that even coming into the season that he would be a major trade candidate, let alone, you know, one of this nature. But he's already, you know, doubled his career high in innings. So you're getting the 2 years of control beyond this one. But what are you going to get from him down the stretch? How much? I don't think it's unrealistic to think you can continue to push him. But, like, how much is too much, you know? And I do think there was some thought brewing within the industry, like, well, maybe for this playoff run, you get him for 3 years, you know, 3 playoff runs essentially, and maybe for this one, you can use him as a reliever. And he's kind of pushing back on that before a trade even happened. So, you know, players at that stage of their career prior to free agency don't always have a lot of leverage. He might have some leverage in this moment. I don't blame him for, you know, trying to utilize it for what is best for his career, because we know pitchers blow up. These opportunities don't come often. And so I understand why you know, he might have some concerns about how he's used, and I understand why teams might have some concerns about what they can get from him. I don't think that's a guy that, like a team in the Guardian situation, you can't trade for Garrett Crochet. I'm not talking about within the division and all that stuff. I'm just talking about what I said earlier. It's like you need to know what you're getting innings-wise.
Anthony Kastrovitz joining us here on the show. Yeah, I think it's kind of difficult for folks to bring in what they want to bring just because of name as a general Guardians fan. I want to explain that here in just a moment. Anthony, when you looked at the Guardians to begin this season, where did you think they were going to finish record-wise?
Oh, I mean, I thought 500 would be a struggle. Like, I thought that would be, you know, if they finished 500, that would be a heck of a season, to be honest with you, because I did have concerns about the pitching staff as a whole, and as it turns out, that was certainly justified in the rotation, but not so much in the bullpen. I was way wrong about the bullpen, you know. I thought it would be Class A marks, and it has not been the case at all.
Well, does that
lineup wise, I did feel better about their organizational depth players. I didn't know what that would look like, but it's obviously, you know, it turned out to be a strength for the first half of the season.
Well, does that or should that affect what they do at the trade deadline? Because a lot of people just had them where you are, around 500, and, you know, we'll call it a season, and maybe we'll see some guys develop for 2025 and beyond. But since they're so much better than that, does that hold them back from going, quote-unquote, all-in, or is that all the more reason to go all-in?
I hope it doesn't hold them back. I think that'd be ridiculous. You can't assess the trade deadline relative to what people thought of your club in March. You have to assess the trade deadline according to what you are on July 30th, which is, you know, as of today, the second-best record in baseball, and a team that's established that it does need some support. You know, it's gotten support from the fans. We've seen that, right? They've gotten this point with a minimal payroll. They've gotten this point with a strong farm system, and they've gotten this point with a lot of fan support. So if not now, when? The rotation has, like I said, it's been a problem all year in terms of just getting quality innings. And the lineup has taken on some water here in the last month, which is probably not unexpected because the way they were performing offensively the first couple months of the season was a revelation. It was like, where did this come from? You know, all this power, all these runs, like, what the heck? So I think of it like, if you think of offense in three tiers, you know, they were a tier three offense last year. You know, I think there was hope that this year could be more like a tier two. You know, guys perform, you know, more towards what you expected them, some prospects come up, etc. But they were tier one for the first half of the season. Now they're kind of scaling back, and, you know, maybe water finds its level and they end up at tier two. But again, here's an opportunity at the deadline to maybe get another bat as well to shore up that end of things.
So, I mean, this would be, because when I brought up the name brand thing, like you wrote about Blake Snell. All right, well, I know Blake Snell hasn't been that great this year, and I know he got a late start and all that other stuff. But I think a general fan, if they hear Blake Snell and they hear he goes to the Astros and the Guardians trade for, they might have heard of Tommy Pham, but I think a lot of regular Guardians fans might not have really talked about Eric Fetty that much. If they just get those guys, for whatever reason, I do believe that Guardians fans or the general Cleveland sports fan would be upset about hearing a guy like Blake Snell going there just for name recognition's sake.
Yeah, I don't think name recognition matters to me. What matters to me is winning games, you know? I mean, did Cade Smith have name recognition before this year?
No.
Did Tim Herron? Did Hunter Gaddis? No. And those guys have been like the MVPs of the season as far as I'm concerned. So, yeah, I get what you're saying. Like, it would excite the fan base to bring in a, you know, a reigning Cy Young winner, but also you got to know what you're getting. And I don't know what they're getting in Blake Snell. I mean, I do think he's been a very mercurial player in general in his career, you know, kind of, you know, high highs and low lows, that sort of thing. It kind of comes with his profile. But, you know, the thing that's really complicated with him is a $30 million player option for next year. And so you don't know if you're getting Blake Snell for 2 months. Are you getting Blake Snell for 2 months and another season on top of that? Do you want to commit to a player who could exercise a $30 million player option and has not had a good season? It's just, that's a lot of question marks that, you know, I don't want any part of. I'd rather have Eric Fetty. I really would.
Well, Anthony, is there a value or a contract, a future contract, that would rule out a player for this front office, for this ownership group, meaning like you're talking about Snell and a $30 million option. That to me is that's just not going to happen. It's almost delusional to think that they would, considering what their payroll is now, to pursue something like that. So what is that contract value that you think is almost pointless to even discuss?
Well, that's a great question that I can't possibly answer because we have not seen what this new ownership group, and that's what it is, right? A new minority owner. Like, we haven't seen the impact from that yet. And I don't know what that is going to look like. We have not heard from Blitzer, right? We haven't heard a word from the guy since he became a minority. So I don't know, like, is this a time where they might consider more investment in the future? But I think the other answer to your question is just, I don't think it really matters, this trade deadline, to be honest with you, based on the inventory. Like, there's nothing, I mean, we talk about Blake Snell, he's probably an outlier. I think generally speaking, there's no one known to be available at this trade deadline whose contract is so onerous that you couldn't do it. I think it's just more a question of, you know, are you comfortable giving up X, Y, and Z? But it's a pretty, it's not a high star polluted trade deadline. There's a lot of inventory. There's a lot of volume going on right now. We've seen it in the last few days. There's been a lot of movement, and there's a lot of ways to improve your club, and I expect them to do that. But I don't see anything that's like a non-starter in terms of contractual situation. Blake Snell, like I said, might be one of the few precarious situations there.
So, like, the Rays, they sold the three games out of the wild card. You know, Randy Rosarena's on his way out. What's realistic now with the added wild card spot? What's a realistic point for teams to be buyers or sellers? Like, not division leaders, but wild card teams. What's a point where you say, okay, they really need to be buyers? This is ridiculous. Or, hey, it's time to sell. Is that a year by year basis, or is there something there that you could see as maybe a golden rule?
I don't see any golden rule. There's no rules anymore. You know, I've seen a lot of, I've seen some national prominent conversation about how well the Rays are doing at this trade deadline. And, you know, this is how you sell. This is the methodical way. Like, they're really showing this is how you do it. And they're three games out of a playoff spot. So it's like, what are we doing here? It's just like the same people who in the winter, you know, moan about teams not doing enough to compete and that sort of thing. And now we're going to celebrate that they're trading everybody at three games out. So I don't know what the rules are anymore. I just know that, you know, front offices have a pretty good feel for their teams in terms of what is real and, you know, what is more a product of the whole league being kind of bogged down. Like, I'm just going to say that, like, there's no juggernauts this season, particularly in the American League. I mean, the Guardians have the best record in the American League. You guys watch them every night. You can probably pick them apart left and right, right? Yeah, I mean, we're sitting here, they need this, they need that.
Yeah.
And that's generally how it is with fans in general, but it's also real. Like, they really do have some needs. And, oh, by the way, they have the best record in the American League. So I think the Orioles are a team that's probably in the best position to come out of this trade deadline, like, as the clear favorite in the American League. Like, if they were to add yet another arm, you know, in the front end of the rotation, and they could actually absolutely do that. You know, that's a team that I would feel comfortable, like, okay, crown them as you are the favorite going forward. But just generally speaking, like, it's just kind of crowded in the middle. And so I don't know why a team like the Rays would be celebrated for punting at three games out. I think that's kind of crazy.
I may have asked you this last time we had you on, but now we've gotten even closer. And I'm still assuming they're going to pick up a rotational arm, but we'll see. Right now, who would be, if they had a chance to set up their starting rotation, what would that order be? What would it look like in the playoffs?
Oh, boy. Wow. Yeah, it's kind of maybe it's a, you know, a comment on the state of the game, and that Ben Lively, and, I mean, obviously Bybee is your number one, and then Ben Lively is your number two start in the playoffs right now, right? That's just kind of where they're at. There is still hope that Logan Allen and Tristan McKenzie figure some things out. And, you know, it's been kind of, you don't like to scout the stat line, but it's pretty clear that McKenzie's, you know, having a lot of trouble, you know, commanding the baseball down there, just, you know, avoiding walks. So that's discouraging. But Yeah, that's why it's just it's very important they get at least one starter and maybe two. You know, Matthew Boyd is an option for them down the stretch. He's coming back from Tommy John. You don't know what you're going to get there, but he is an option for them. But yeah, as of today, it's bye, be lively and pray for rain, I guess.
And well, the next thing I was going to ask, just matchup wise, we are obsessed about talking about matchups in the NFL and the NBA. Give me the matchups that would be the most favorable playoff wise for this Guardians team.
Yeah, another good question, and a question that will obviously change, you know, quite a bit between now and October. It'll probably change quite a bit between now and 6 o'clock on Tuesday. But you know, as we sit here today, Houston's got the AL West lead now. Obviously, the Orioles have the AL East lead, and the wild cards as of today are Yankees, Twins, and Royals. Well, you know, there's a lot of familiarity with the Twins and Royals, of course. Guardians would be the number one. I laugh at this. Like, it's crazy to me that we're sitting here on July 29th and the Guardians are the number one seed in the American League playoffs. So they would be in a good position with home games and, you know, facing the worst remaining seed. But, you know, give me the Yankees. The Yankees are pitchable.
Bring on the Yankees.
Anthony,
bring on the Yankees.
Don't let the two guys hurt you and then take your chances with the rest.
Oh, I wouldn't do that.
It always feels better when you beat the Yankees anyway. It means more.
Oh, my God.
Don't you think Josh Naylor wants another crack at those fans?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, those babies are now like, what, 3 years old that he was rocking last time. They've grown.
Stop it.
They're toddlers. That's right. Terrible twos, I think. Mm-hmm.
Can I quote you on social media about that, Anthony?
He's got tweeted out.
Oh, sure, yeah. That'll be taken in the proper context.
Let's go.
It'll be taken in a horrific context. That's why I asked. I swear to God, Anthony.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's such a – baseball's wild, man. It's only gotten wilder with the expanded playoffs. And, you know, it's how are you playing in that moment? And the Guardians have put themselves in a position where I legitimately think they can go to the World Series. And I don't say that, like, there's been other years where they've been leading their division or in the playoff mix. But, like, I just think that the playoff picture, as we sit here today, maybe something changes and the juggernaut emerges from this. But they could beat anybody in a short series. They really could because they have the formula of just get a lead and hand it off to the bullpen. They did it in 2016. They can do it again this year. And that's a beautiful thing. But they got to take advantage of that situation here in the next, 36 hours.
Anthony, we thank you very much for the time. All the very best to you and yours. And, I mean, I'll explain when you're not on air why I didn't think it was a great idea to say the whole bring on the Yankees thing, even though you technically didn't say it. But either way, Anthony, have a hell of a day. Take care.
All right, guys. We'll see you.
Anthony Kastrovitz, MLB.com. Follow him on Twitter at Kastrovitz. Buddy, that's a road I've been down, and I never want to go down again. And I never will go down again. It'll never happen again. I'll never say it again.
Hey, you weren't voted worst take of the year for that one. That was the loser in the finals to your other one, which was Freddie Kitchens is a better coach.
Than Mike Vrabel.
Yeah.
So look at it that way. You said worse things that year.
But I agree. I don't think there's anybody.
It's a bad year for me in takes. Bad year.
Is there anybody to be afraid of? Like, I get, bring up all our, especially before the trade deadline, like, bring up the fact that we are platooning like seven positions.
That's the biggest difference between now and even like a 2017 or 28. 2017, they won 102 games. 2018, they were great again and had made moves to make the roster better at the trade deadline, but it was look at the other teams, you know, and you could never count the Astros out, I guess. They're starting to come alive, but you're right. When you look at the last 10, I mean, in the division, everybody's 5-5 except for the White Sox, who are 0-10.
Anybody I'm afraid of? I'm not afraid of the Orioles. All right, don't take this as like, bring on the Orioles or what if I'm going to say these things, all right? The one I would be weirded out about is Houston. That's the one I would be weirded out about. That one, because it's Houston, it's their history, the whole thing. We don't usually do very well against Houston, and that would be the one I go, I don't like this. The other ones, I got to tell you, Maybe I should be more afraid of the Yankees. I'm not. Doesn't mean I'm saying to bring them on. Doesn't mean I'm saying bring on anybody. I'm not afraid of the Orioles. I'm not afraid of the Yankees. Not afraid of the Mariners. I got to admit, I'm concerned about the Astros. They've been in the ALCS 7 straight years. Yeah. How can I not be, if they were, all right, we're playing the Astros. Yeah, I'd be a bit concerned there, bud. Be a lot concerned there. Yeah, I'd be concerned. The other ones, not as much. I'll admit that with Castrovince. What I don't like hearing, though, and I mean, if Castrovince wants to say it, that's fine. I kind of don't want it to happen because I don't want to remind everybody about that because that was a terrible, terrible time. I mean, I was there, guys, there was a meteorologist here. Lyman, do you remember this? The morning after they lost to the Yankees, and I knew my day was just going to be hell the next day. There is a meteorologist that's no longer in town. It's like 5 a.m. I come in here, and I mean, I'm just reading cuss out tweet after cuss out tweet. I mean, it's as low as I've felt. As a radio show host, I swear to God. I come in here, I'm like, this is not going to be a good day, but you said what you said. You're going to take it on the chin, and that's it. And it's 5 a.m., and I look up at the TV, and this person is not from here, no longer here. I should probably name names, but I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, why not?
I'm not going to do it. And this guy went on this. First off, what a great, before we get to the weather, what?
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What a great season for the Indians. And I'm going, you disingenuous. Like, I just started cussing up a store. Kenny might have been here. Somebody was here. Did you see me do it? I was here, yeah.
Can you give his AMS still?
No. It's not one. It wasn't Dick Goddard. Okay. I would have believed Dick Goddard.
I remember that.
Do you remember who it was?
Yeah.
You remember the guy I'm talking about? Okay. I mean, it was a custom up one side and down the other at 5:01 in the morning, losing my mind. Because I knew that the morning was going to be hell, and it was. And that I'm sitting there going, I really, really am crushed by this loss. And here you are, you're just giving lip service to your viewers. You don't believe any of this. You don't mean any of this. You don't care about the Cleveland Indians. You don't care about being here. To hell with you. I got so mad, so worked into a shoot on that. And then the rest of the day was hellish. Finally got past it. Thank God. I'll never do it again. I will never say bring on a team again.
I'll just say though right now.
I think there might be more favorable matchups with certain teams. And I'm not just talking about just baseball. I'll talk all those sports. But I'm never going to say bring on a team ever again. Never. Mm-mm.
You know, it's very interesting to me though that when a Browns team, if the Browns had the best record in the NFL, what would the confidence levels be like with our fan base?
If the Browns had the best record in the NFL,
and it had just come off like we just beat the team with the best record in baseball 2 out of 3, so let's say we had just taken it to the Kansas City Chiefs,
which they do play late in the year this year,
yeah. How confident do you think our fans would be?
I think they'd be very nervous.
Especially, yeah, if they go, if they beat the Chiefs by 20 plus points,
I think they would be
and then
puffing
they
their
go,
chest.
We're gonna see them again in 4 weeks. We've got them.
It'd be worse. It'd be worse with me. Because if they beat them by like 21 or 24,
not you, it's the fan base.
I am a glorified fan. I don't say I'm a journalist. I am not a journalist. I don't claim to be one.
The majority of fans would be
nervous,
overly nervous.
Yes. Yes.
Hits in the stomach. The nerves yes. that you had this past season.
If we somehow drew Kansas City, right? Like, if we drew the Chiefs, are you talking wild card weekend? No, best team in the NFL, so they'd be,
divisional round.
So if we drew them divisional round, playoffs, I'd be freaking out. Because, under that scenario, what you're saying, I think it's almost impossible to beat teams twice. It's done. But I think it'd be impossible to beat Kansas City twice. So especially if... The more you won it by, like if you won the game by 30 against Kansas City, it'd be like, that's a throwaway game. Things got unhinged in the second half. Place was going bonkers. You can't even pay attention to some of that stuff. Like, let's throw the tape away. Like, that's how I would feel about that. I would not feel, the bigger the lead gets against Kansas City and late in the regular season, the worse I would feel about it in the future.
I've just been here long enough to where even in the bad seasons, there were some 3-13 seasons where our fans thought it was crazy that we weren't picking the Browns to win games week to week. And I'm like, we're not good. We don't have good players. We don't have a quarterback. What are you talking about? And it would just be this weird delusion. The reason I bring it up when I'm talking about the Guardians is I almost wonder if the trade deadline and us having a clear weakness now for really the extent of the season, once Bieber went down with the injury, I think it was like, all right, let's see. Well, Gavin Williams will get back. Well, but then, he was behind schedule and had a setback. And it was just obvious to everybody for a long period of time that we were going to need to address this.
Yes.
And I think that trade deadline has just been something we've talked about for so long that it has so many fans convinced that we've got these issues on the team that we're not going to be able to overcome. And yet here we are. Best record in the American League, second best record in baseball. We've kind of overcome
it. Well, they've been about a .500 team since. It hasn't been that long since the All-Star break, obviously, or even since that midway point of the season. But it's exactly what everybody says. Well, if you're a .500 team the rest of the way, you're a World Series, or you're a playoff team easily.
90-plus win team.
And a 98-plus win team, so that's all great. But because they got out to such a huge lead, and it's been so apparent of what they've needed the entire season. Shane Bieber went down, the second week of the year?
I think he had two starts.
Yeah. Like, I remember we were getting ready to make some sort of an argument about whether to trade or not trade Shane Bieber, and then you were left with no choice. So it's been since the second week of the year that we've really, truly known what this team needs. If they weren't to make a move, then I think it would be, a lot of people would be crestfallen if they don't make a move at this trade deadline. And if they did, I don't want to keep saying Eric Fetty all the time, and Tommy Pham all the time, because I don't want to get too hitched to one name. I think there's probably going to be other names out there. I don't know if Crochet is going to make the list on this, obviously, but I think there's other names out there that would make some decent sense. I don't think you need to go breaking banks on any of this stuff, but I do think that there would be some moves that would need to be made, obviously. So since we've known about it long enough, I do think that, yeah, maybe they've been this good. They've been this good with deficiencies. So I guess I'm saying I'm nervous about my own little insecurities. My own little insecurities of, hey, man, I picked them to be an 82-80 team this year. I thought that was going to be a great season. Let's not lose face of what we were doing, or let's not lose focus of what we thought we were going to do here. Okay, well, Anthony Kastrovitz himself said that I need to change the outlook of the season and what I expect out of them. My expectations, my bar needs to be raised for them. Okay, because it is true, and Anthony Kastrovitz makes all the sense of the world. They've been better than what we thought they were going to be, and they've been better than what we thought they were going to be with all those deficiencies we just said. So now would be the time to help that and to give them the best chance they can. Because I do look, and it's the team that I would be concerned about just based on history and because they got their act together would be the Astros. The Yankees, I respect the Yankees, I respect the Orioles, I respect the Twins, I respect the Mariners, I respect all the teams, okay? The team I would actually be worried about is the Astros. That's it. That's a pretty good number.
I just the way that I hear people talk about this team, maybe it again is because they want to make these bold moves at the trade deadline. It doesn't feel like the team that has the best record in the American League. And I'm wondering if our fans are going to get back to acting like that.
Because we're so used to begging them at this time of year to make moves that I don't know if we know any other way to act. 216-474-0092, and that's myself included.
Sean Watson acting like a victim brought this all on himself.
What?
That from Jason Lloyd of The Athletic and the New York Times.
No.
Quote.
No.
I've tried. I've really tried with Deshaun Watson. I've defended the Browns pursuing him because Baker Mayfield wasn't good enough. Despite all his legal issues, Watson was the best quarterback available at the time. But Watson isn't and has never been a victim in any of this. That from Jason Lloyd, who we're going to effort to possibly have on tomorrow.
Hit piece Lloyd. Good God. This is in West Virginia he wrote this from. He's down there. He's got boots on the ground, and he decided to write that.
Watson has never really shown much remorse or taken enough accountability for his alleged predatory actions.
Oh, boy. You really want to get into this now? I mean, Big Kev's about to hit the podium there, but I was going to talk about play calling.
The lack of remorse is what Judge Sue L. Robinson noted when she initially suspended Watson for 6 games. I believe Watson's gotten some really bad advice through all of this. His team, at least to my knowledge, never hired a crisis management team to begin mitigating the PR damage. He's never out in front on any charity work involving women's abuse victims. Instead, he went to Saudi Arabia over the offseason, a country with a horrific record on human rights,
what
and specifically women's rights, and took to social media to rave about what a good time he had there. That from Jason Lloyd of The Athletic and The New York Times.
Practice is over. He'll be making his way to the podium.
Any moment now.
Kevin Stefanski.
Got it in my other ear, waiting to hear
from you. Oh, boy. Tone. What? Jason just got mad over what, the press conference on Friday?
And this story is getting a lot of run right now on the New York Times website The Athletic website.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, Jason, hopefully will join us tomorrow. There you go.
I just argued with Danny Cunningham last week that I thought it's been 2 years that he's been here. We were talking about whether he could win Comeback Player of the Year, and I'm like, sure. Why not? People got over Kobe Bryant. Not everybody, but I'm talking in generalities. Ben Roethlisberger. Michael Vick.
Yeah.
Ray Lewis.
Yeah.
Why not Deshaun Watson?
You don't want my answer. It's an ugly answer. It's not a good answer.
We've already said. Go ahead.
You know what this is? Did those other guys play better after they came back?
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
I mean, Kobe Bryant was in Eagle, Colorado, flying back and forth and scoring 40 points and hitting game winners.
There you go. I mean, we are...
But that's what I mean. If he plays well, why couldn't he get back in the good graces of a lot of people? Why couldn't
he? That's probably what would happen.
Reverse the storylines. Like, yes, if they're in the Super Bowl, they're going to be some uncomfortable moments, you know, on the 20-hour pregame show. Sure.
Yeah.
But I think the other side of his hit, by that time, it'll be all about maturity. It'll be about how he's evolved as a human. I think all that stuff will come into play. Will it not? Am I naive here?
No, I don't think you're naive.
Yeah, some people hate him forever, and that was the case with Big Ben. People, that was the same thing with Kobe.
We had Michael Vick on the show before, and there were people. I mean, that was like year one, like 8 years ago, you and I. And there were people who were just going crazy that we had Mike Vick on the show.
Yes.
You know what? Every time Ray Lewis is mentioned, you can look on any social media post at all. Someone's going to mention a white suit. Same thing with Ben Roethlisberger with different levels. And obviously, when Kobe Bryant passed away, there were plenty of people bringing that up.
But that stuff is never going away.
Forever, but
there are people that will never change their minds. I get that. But aren't we as a public pretty damn forgiving?
We are forgiving. We're forgiving to winners. That's who we're forgiving to.
That's right.
And you can tell me 5-1 all you want, but that's not really something that anybody's going to go on. If he were to win an AFC championship game or a division or something like that and return to close to the form, as close as possible to the form of what he was in 2020, then things would be different. And I think I don't think that's lost on him. I don't think that's lost on him. I haven't seen this. I saw a little bit of it. I didn't know we were going to go so into vivid detail on it. But I didn't see the... All the hit piece, I shouldn't call it that, all the article of what Jason wrote, I haven't seen it all yet, but yeah, that's case in point, man. And it's uncomfortable, but it's the truth. So if they go out and they win, yeah, things will be seen a little bit different. But I do think that that's not lost on Deshaun Watson, and I think he knows that, and I think that's part of the reason why he's probably really frustrated here over the last couple of years.
The last line,
it's been fits and starts.
And again, stay tuned. We're going to have Kevin Stefanski. We're going to have Andrew Berry right here live on 92.3 The Fan. His last line of this piece is, let's be honest, most NFL fans don't care what he has to say either until he says, quote, I'm sorry. I mean, are we ever getting that from Deshaun Watson? And is that going to be central in him moving forward?
He has maintained his innocence publicly throughout the entire time. And there are two civil or one civil? There's one or two still civil lawsuits that are out there. One, he says, apparently he's never going to settle. So, guys, like, he's not going to say that when there's still suits to be had. Like, you're not going to do that. So, Jason, you know, I love Jason. Did he write back 2022? This is kind of out of nowhere. I mean, Jason must be irked about the...
Well, he thought Watson...
Doesn't give two bleeps.
It's not from... Yeah, that's what he must be irked by. Was him saying that, you know, he hasn't gotten a chance for 2 years that he's been here with,
you know,
the media.
I did not take the press conference the same way. I know Mary Kay talked about the tone of the press conference, quote, expletive-laced. I took it a different way. I took it as Deshaun Watson is frustrated at a lot of things, and he's trying to get into a headspace where he can move on. Because clearly, and a lot of athletes won't ever like to admit this stuff, but clearly, mentally, there's been damage there. And it's clearly impacted his confidence.
He went from, and this is something we talked about 2 years ago, he went from somebody who was downright beloved to reviled by some corners of the earth. I mean, just reviled. And that's a tough thing to do. I mean, remember, when LeBron left, and I know this is way lighter than anything we've all discussed, but you remember LeBron did like a villainous Nike ad when he first left and went to Miami. It ran for, I think, like a month. And he tried to be a tough guy for like a month. You are who you are. There's guys who are comfortable being a villain. There are guys who are... Draymond Green is in his skin being a villain. He loves it. He loves that fans boo him. He loves drawing a reaction like that. Not every guy can. I bet Steph Curry gets pretty uncomfortable if he gets booed. Not on the road, but if he were booed at home, I think he wouldn't be liking that very much. I don't think anybody really likes to get booed at home, except for a very certain few, and those are the people, my God, you got a gear that I don't even know exists. To go from beloved to having this with you the entire time has to take its toll. Emotionally, it has to do that. So he is trying to find any way he can to get through it. And you know, he is a quarterback for the Browns, we have to hope that he finds the help he needs to get through it. Because the football field, it's not what solves everything, but it helps smooth things over. Well, if you can't get on the football field and play well, then it's not going to be smoothed over. Because right now, and this is why I say this is the season where it sits. You remember the pundits who, wow, I don't know if he's ever going to get it back. I don't know if he's ever going to get it back. I don't know if he's ever going to get it back. Well, then he'll be known as the guy who never got it back. That off-field allegations played into this. That's what it always going to be said. I could sit there and tell you about shoulder injuries and God knows what until the cows come home. And this is the year where we're going to start to really decide. Last year, you know, you could still say, and be honest, I still say 4-1, but he was 5-1 as a starter. You can say that, and that's all true, and you can still have that hope. But year three, if he doesn't do it again, what else am I going to say? I mean, guys, again, it's the same conversation to a much different degree, same conversation as we've had about other quarterbacks. Are you going to get it? Are you really ever going to get it? I know that we've put a lot of money into it, but are you really going to get it? Whatever it is to be that franchise quarterback that carries us over the threshold of something special. Because if you don't this year, then I do think that everything is in earnest thoughts. What is the future of Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry? What is the future of Deshaun Watson? Would you rather have Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski than Deshaun Watson? Has Deshaun Watson done enough, or are they going to do a sunk cost fallacy, quote unquote, and continue to throw money problem and say, okay, Kevin and Andrew have to go, then we're going to find somebody else because we're so invested in our quarterback? You know, and then there is always the whole Russell Wilson scenario where, yeah, you would have an historical amount to pay off in dead cap space, but is any of it going to be worth it if you know you don't have the quarterback or any escape route to get out from underneath it? Like, this is such a pivotal year in this franchise's history. I hope we all understand the seriousness of this. And I think that he does because he's doing everything he can to block it all out. Yes.
So real quick, we're in a holding pattern. We're going to do our legal real quick. Okay. We're going to get that in. And then you might hear more show or you might hear Big Kev.
Okay, here we go.
From the SmartChoiceWindows.com studio. Don't follow the baseball season on a station without sports in its name.
Strike two.
WKRKFN and HD1 Cleveland Heights. We are Cleveland's sports radio. 92.3 The Fan. An Odyssey sports station. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, we're back, and we are in the holding pattern right now for Big Kev to stand up to the podium.
This launched, at least on social media, reaction to the show. This launched into the same debates we had 2 years ago.
I don't even need to look at him. I'm sure, I'm guessing.
About whether or not he was guilty, yeah, whether or not.
Here we go.
He made any bad decisions to begin with. Like, we're just going to relitigate.
Okay.
But, you know, it's always been weird, right? Because, like, the Haslams have gotten in front of microphone countless times and said what? They have said that he's remorseful. Like, they tell you that, but Deshaun never really says that.
Because he can't. There's still civil suits out.
I mean, I think there'd be ways that he could go about.
He said what he said a couple years ago.
Bad judgment.
He mentioned bad judgment before. He mentioned that. But as far as an actual, I'm sorry, anything like that, if you were his lawyer, would you advise him to do such a thing? No, you wouldn't.
I think
you would not do that.
I think what Jason also, you know, talks about getting involved with maybe some charitable ways. Like, he has not done a great job trying to push through any kind of a remorseful attitude, has he, in terms of changing the narrative on him? I mean, he is despised outside of Cleveland and then by half the people in Cleveland.
But again, where I look at it goes, and I don't want to keep going through this thing over and over and over again. It's still the truth. You know, for a lot of folks, has it been 2.5 years now? How they felt about him 2.5 years is the same way they're going to feel about him from here on out.
Does he do himself any favors?
Not much you can do. Does he do himself any favors? Yeah. Well, I don't. The whole Saudi Arabia thing, that's a big deal on a lot of different metrics. Does he do himself many favors? I don't think he does himself many favors, but I don't think that he goes and I don't think he's really done anything to make it worse, except not play well to some folks, because to a lot of folks, I think that's all they care about, Anthony. Does Kevin know that we are waiting on him and that's what he's doing? Because it's not above him to do this to us.
Is he listening to us?
He could be doing that on purpose.
Is this payback? We're just ending the show.
We're going to end the show?
Now. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see what happens.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.